Hello everybody, this is English for You, the program that helps you improve your English. A very warm welcome. In the studio, I have my Fosecco students, two lovely young ladies from the 12th grade, and two vigorous young boys from the 9th grade. How's everybody doing? Cotto?
Fine, thank you.
Brilliant. Andrew?
Everything's great, thanks.
Okay. Martin?
I'm okay.
Good. Victoria?
Fine, thanks.
Great. Today's special guest is Professor Scott Smith, an environmental scientist from the United States. Scott has been here as a Fulbright grantee for a couple of weeks now. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
I've read somewhere, and you might say whether it's true or not, that the United States is a huge country. And the name of the state where he's from has a nickname, and this is the Sunshine State. Plus, we have a wonderful picture, and this is a program of guessing. So, Cotto, what can you see in the picture?
I can see a beach, and that those buildings might be hotels or anything, and, well, I can see a little boat, but it's on the shore, not in the sea. Can I have a guess?
Yeah, sure.
It might be California.
That's a very good guess. My answer is no. Would anybody would like to come
Florida.
Up with a... Say it again.
Florida.
Florida. What helped you?
Sunshine State.
And the picture.
Yes, sure.
Right. Scott, I'm green with envy. You're from the best place of the world, exotic beaches and things like this. So is it the nicest place in the world?
Well, actually, I'm from Gainesville, Florida, which is a very small university city about 600 miles from that photograph, which is Miami Beach. So
if
it's a good state, but a bad location.
Yes. If you were in Florida now, what would the weather be like?
It's raining there. There's a small hurricane, in fact.
Okay.
So it's been raining for the past 5 days. I'm quite satisfied to be here.
Yes. And let's imagine July.
Oh, let's not imagine July.
Why not?
It's really uncomfortable at that point.
Because
38, 40 degrees, and daytime and nighttime with 100% humidity.
Would you say it again?
With 100% humidity.
100% humidity. You're swimming outside?
You're saturated with water.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not green with envy then.
No, you need not be.
Okay, thank you. We have another photograph here. Yes, here we go. And this is a very interesting photograph. And I would like you to put up your hand if you recognize what we can see. Intelligent student, Andrew.
Budapest.
How do you know this?
Well, that river looks like the Danube, perhaps.
Right.
With that something, perhaps it's an island.
Can you name this island?
It may be...
Czech.
Saint-André.
No.
Margit.
Margit. Margit Siget, Margaret Island. And we have all the bridges here, right? Do you think that our building, the television building, is in the picture?
Yes.
Yes, very much so. It must be, this must be Margit Heath, this must be Lance Heath, so this must be somewhere here. Do you think our school, Fosekos, is in the picture?
No.
Yes.
Yes. My answer is yes, a definite yes. This is Petr Fihid, so it must be somewhere here. Do you think your home is in the picture?
No.
No.
Victoria?
I think so.
Yes. You live in Vekerle? No.
No.
What's the name?
Fischerhotele.
Say it again, please.
Fischerhotele.
Right. Somewhere here?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Because you can see Népliget, Városliget. Are you sure your home is not...
No.
You're not sure then. Right. I'm turning to you, Scott. It's a little bit scary because this picture is from space. And George Orwell's famous phrase, Big Brother is watching us all the time?
Not all the time. In this case, he's watching you every 12 days. Every 12 days, a satellite passes over Budapest. And it can view things on the ground that are larger than 10 meters by 10 meters. Which certainly would be the house you live in. So your house is resolvable on that image, but you're not resolvable. They couldn't see you coming and going.
No? Can a bus be seen from up there?
No.
No.
Right. Not with this particular satellite. Some satellites you can, Some satellites have a resolution of 1 meter by 1 meter on the ground.
Say the word again.
One meter resolution. With a resolution is 1 meter by one meter.
A clear picture, resolution.
What you can see and what you can't see.
Right.
This one has a resolution, though, of 20 meters. So you're safe from those eyes.
Scott, you're not in the military business.
No.
No.
So it's absolutely not.
Something peaceful, right?
There are a lot of peaceful applications of remote sensing, but the beginning, of course, of remote sensing and most of the trends come from the military, for better or for worse, because, of course, they have a lot of applications for it, too.
Thank you very much. Now, I hope you would agree that these are the most important words as far as your research area is concerned.
Yes.
Would you be so kind as to read them out?
Remote sensing, radar. You know, radar is an acronym. Do you know what an acronym means? Do you know what radar stands for then?
Say it, will you?
An acronym is one word made up of a number of words. So radar really means radio and detection ranging system. Multispectral scanner is a camera. Satellites, you know what a satellite is. And GIS is geographic information systems.
Geographic information systems. Now, I'm turning to you. Remote sensing. I mean, you've been learning English for a couple of years now. Can you say it in other words? Remote sensing. Please. Marta.
I have no idea.
No idea. Victoria.
Could be a technical device that is like your, I don't know. It is that you can see better with it than with your eyes, you know.
Yeah, something like that. Thank you very much. Scott, remote sensing.
Victoria had it right. It's essentially sensing something without touching it. So you take a picture of it, or you send out a signal, wait for it to come back, and then you make some kind of sense of it. So it's sensing something without actually touching it.
Right. We have radar, radio signals, and finding things with the help of radio signals.
Right. Well, radar is sending out microwave radiation. You wait for it to come back, and of course you know how much time it took to make the round trip. So you can therefore calculate what the range is from your airplane or from your radar to the target.
Thank you. Now, this gives me some problem. Multispectral scanner. We are turning to the kids, desperate faces.
All you have to do is take the word apart.
I have an idea.
Yes, Martin.
Well, multi means lots, like not only one kind.
Mm-hmm.
Spectral means point of view, maybe.
And the scanner?
Scanner means a device which you can make a picture or feel what something looks like or what something is made of.
Well, that's very close. It's pretty accurate. A multispectral scanner is a special kind of a camera that breaks up the spectrum from ultraviolet light to microwave radiation into several different pieces, and that it measures the reflectance given off from each one of those pieces of the spectrum, and it measured it on a scanning device. So you get back not one picture, but several different pictures according to its part of the spectrum.
Right. Thank you very much. We are going to see a beautiful satellite, and we have already mentioned that GIS is Geographic Information Systems. So could we have a still picture now? And Andrew, I gave you this brochure 2 days ago. And I asked you to find some information about satellites. And here we go. What have you learned?
Well, this brochure is about a system of satellites named SPOT. I think that's also an acronym. And so it has five satellites, this system. And the first three are, their properties are the same. And the fourth and the fifth isn't too similar. The first three satellites were supposed to be able to be used for 3 years, and the fourth and the fifth was for 5 years. The first satellite was sent up in 1986, I think, and I think last year was the fifth.
Yeah, the altitude, can you say anything about it?
I think they said that they are on orbit at 832 kilometers.
Would you repeat it, please?
Surface, 832 kilometers.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Thank you. Scott, Can you name the different parts? So, for example, these panels.
Those are simply arrays that collect sunlight to recharge the batteries. And then the bottom part are the...
This one?
Well, that's an antenna.
Yes.
And the bottom, that's a camera. That's a multispectral scanner.
So this is the scanner?
Yes.
And this one is
an antenna.
An antenna or aerial or
well,
antenna?
What it does is collect information, reflected data from the ground. That's what the multispectral scanner does. And the antenna has to relay that back to an Earth station, Earth receiving station. So that, the camera collects the data, the antenna then reflects it back to the Earth. And the solar panels on top power the satellite.
Thanks. Now we're going to watch a satellite orbiting around Mars. So just sit back, enjoy yourselves for 20 seconds. Would you please roll the tape? Scott, was it a computer simulation?
That was probably a computer simulation. I mean, everything else we've seen so far has been the real thing. But I believe that was not the real thing. That was an animation.
Now, we're going to see another still picture coming up pretty soon.
And that is a real thing.
This is not just a program of guessing, but a program of prizes. So if you say where we are, if you say what we can see, the prize is a trip to Hawaii.
Mars.
Mars. Good. No trip. Any other guesses? No. Scott, not for you. So
this prize goes
to the kids, not to you, no. Scott. So what can we see here?
If I don't get a prize, why should I?
Because you're a nice person.
This is a data fusion. A lot of times what we do in remote sensing is take data from different satellites and put it together. So this is a combination of Landsat, which is an American satellite, with the space shuttle, which had on board a radar device at one time. So we fused together the radar and the Landsat data. Landsat's very similar to Spot. And this is a flyover of Northern California. And we're going to fly into the San Francisco Bay Area. And so we're looking from north to south along the San Andreas Fault towards San Francisco.
I'm going to show this. San Andreas Fault, and you can see it. It's a diagonal line, right?
Yes, very distinct.
From here, going that direction, San Andreas Fault. Guys, can you come up with the Hungarian word for it?
Szent András.
Andrew, say it again.
Szent András Törésvonal.
Excellent. Not to Hawaii, but it's really good. Thank you very much. And it's a sort of 3D picture, right?
Yes.
Because of the Landsat satellite and the...
We call it a perspective. Most of the images you look at with remote sensing are looking from up, straight down. This is looking as if you were at about a 45-degree angle. So we call it a perspective image, which gives you the idea of three dimensions, or topography.
And now we're going to take part in a fantastic voyage, a breathtaking voyage, with Scott's live commentary. So would you please roll the tape, and Scott, over to you.
Sure.
You can come here.
Yeah, sure. So we're going down the San Andreas Fault, again, toward San Francisco. You can see the San Francisco Bay Area here, and the Pacific Ocean here. All this is Silicon Valley, and this is, again, part of Silicon Valley, and the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County in California.
So a beautiful shot of Golden Gate from up 800 kilometers or something, right?
832 kilometers.
832 kilometers. Thank you very much. Do sit down, please. Now, we're coming back to Hungary, and there's going to be a map of Hungary, and I'm going to point at the exact location somewhere here. You can see the Danube, and this area is called Sziget Köz. There's a dam there in the Slovak part, and the dam is a wall built across a river to keep back water, right? And there has been a lot of controversy over this problem. So over to you, Márton, because I asked you to to read about it. So what have you learned?
So there was a contract between Hungary and Slovakia in 1977, and they to build this hydroelectric power plant, and they started building this dam, and they realized that this is gonna make a huge ecological crisis, and so they stopped the building, the construction, and they continued the construction. So the Slovakians continued, the Hungarians continued. So it was a big hustle, and
yes, and there were lots of protests.
Yes, there were lots of
environmental groups and things like this. Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, Scott was here, I believe, in 1993 or 1994. He's going to help me with this. And he joined a Fermi team with Mr. Büttner György. Was it 1993 or 1993. And Fermi is I have to check this, Földmérési és Távérzékelési Intézet, in English, Institute of Geodesy, Cartography and Remote Sensing.
Oh, and by the way, the father of geodesy is a Hungarian-born man who's now at Ohio State, Ivan Mueller. So the Hungarians are very famous in this area of satellite geodesy.
That's good to hear, very good to hear. Now we have two raw images on the wall. Before describing those raw images, may I turn to you, Scott? What is a raw image?
Well, a raw image is what the satellite simply sends back to Earth. And so it's the first reflection you get back from the satellites. And what we have to do is turn a raw image into something that the computer understands where and what things are in the ground. So right. A raw image is simply the first primitive image that you get back from the satellite.
Right. Scott, I asked my students just before the program to stand in front of those two raw images and find some differences. Did you manage to spot any differences, Victoria? And I think this is the time we should just walk over here.
Sure.
And we're going to listen to Victoria, and then we're going to talk about it.
I would be very, very thankful if you could show that there are differences of color. Like there is a pink spot in the second picture, which is not in the first. And yeah. Exactly, and then the water is a different color. In the first, it's light blue and pale, and in the next, it's dark. And then there's a smoky kind of brownish patch.
Right here?
That's right.
Yes. Now, this picture was taken in 1992, and this picture was taken in 1994 of the same area. Over to you, Scott.
This picture was taken before the diversion, before the dam was put into operation. This picture was taken about a year after the dam was put into operation. So you can see the reservoir. You said it's a lighter colored water, but in fact, there's no water here. But it filled up by 1994. That's what the difference is with that. The pink area is a cloud, and the brown or black area is a shadow from that cloud. And what do you think the light red colors are here? You see a light red and sort of a brown color. Within this, I'll tell you, it's a forested area.
No guesses?
Maybe fields and forest.
No, it's all forest. Areas. So there are two kinds of forest. One is coniferous, or pine trees. Mm-hmm. The other one is deciduous, or long, you know, or broadleaf trees. So the light colors here are what we call deciduous trees. And the dark are called pine trees. And one of our objectives was to determine if there was a difference, an increase or decrease in forested area between before the dam and after the dam.
Right, and what's the conclusion?
Well, you can't tell, obviously, by just looking at it, because it's too complicated to do that. So one nice thing about remote sensing is that you can measure it very accurately. And our conclusion was that there isn't any difference between before the dam and after the dam.
It's good to hear.
And we went back actually to 1985. Went back much before this image, and we've looked at images as late as 2001. And there still isn't any significant difference in the forested area. There's no trend toward going from more forest toward less forest in this entire area.
Thank you very much. And now we're going to have, and I think we should just walk over here, because this is another map. And over to you. So what can we see here?
This is a classified image. So we take the raw image, put it in the computer, we tell the computer what it's looking at, and then it classifies everything into a certain kind of a category. So now the computer knows, they've added colors, color-coded things. It knows this is a forest, that's coniferous vegetation, that's deciduous vegetation, this is grassland, this is water, this is whatever it is on the ground. So now it's classified, and we can then begin to come up with tables and numbers and measure stuff quite accurately, which you can't do with a raw image. You need to do with a classified image. So this is a classified image of the area in 1992, before the diversion.
Right. Thank you very much. And now we're going to have another picture, because then you went back to Florida. And you worked in Florida, and this is a fantastic picture, but I just don't know what it is. I recognize the Florida Peninsula, but the color, so is it again a raw image?
No, this is a classified image. And what we did with this is the peninsula of Florida. In this particular image, we wanted to classify land cover with respect to whether it's good or not good habitat for endangered species of wildlife. And so certain colors represent good habitat for things like the black bear or the Florida panther and other endangered species of wildlife. And so that's what this represents.
Right. And we're going to have a very interesting picture, and I'm turning to you guys, whether you can tell me what it is. And again, a trip to Hawaii, so the price is the same. So what do you think it is?
This is a forest.
Excellent. Yes?
With a mine, maybe?
With a mine. No. So, what is it?
Mark.
Scott.
Well, we, in order to verify, to tell whether the images from the satellites are correct or not, we take an airplane. We put a camera, a digital camera, on board the airplane and fly it at a very low altitude. And just take snapshots every once in a while. So, these are trees. These are palm trees. These are mangrove trees. It's very close to the ocean. So this is all kind of heavy vegetation close to the ocean within Florida.
And would you show the golf course again?
Ah, the golf course is right here. This is the green, and it's surrounded by sand traps.
Right. Thank you very much. Do sit down, please. And I think what we need is a fantastic picture of Hungary now. And you're going to find a couple of word cards in your desk. And this is the time to look at those word cards. Would you please hold up the word cards? What have you got, Kata?
Forest.
What is a forest?
Well, a lot of trees together.
Excellent. What have you got?
Urban area. Isn't that the inner part of a city?
Basically, city.
It's a city.
Right, isn't it? Urban area where people...
Whatever is concrete. Yes.
Whatever is concrete. Yes, what have you got?
I've got marsh.
What is it?
This is a type of place where you can sink into the soil.
Yes, wetland, lowland, and which is wet. Victoria?
Arable land.
Any guesses?
I don't know.
Scott, can
you... Farmland.
Farmland.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to see... Well, I hope you recognize this. Say it. One, two, three.
Balaton.
Good. Now, Balaton is blue. Now, your task is going to be to try and match your word card and the color very quickly, and I need intelligent guesses. And now, while you are thinking, I'm turning to Scott. What are you doing in Hungary right now?
Well, actually, we're taking these kinds of maps that have been produced already and applying those to wildlife habitats, looking for endangered species of wildlife that are suitable or not suitable within those habitats.
Right.
We're doing the same kind of thing I did in Florida here in Hungary.
So, any guesses? We have 30 seconds.
I think forest might be green, light green and dark green.
Right?
Very good. That's
very
right.
Good.
Yes. Right.
And the light green forests are deciduous forests, and the dark green forests are coniferous forests, pine trees. Andrew?
I think urban areas might be those pale green parts and orange color, or...
No, it's a purple.
It's, I would say, the red thing. No, the...
Well,
there are more colors.
There are more colors. You're right. There's more than one. It's red, and it's also this purple
right
in here.
Thank you very much. Marton, any guess?
My guess is...
Would you hold up your word card, please, so you have marsh?
Marsh might be the purpley or...
Here, the purple, this purple. And the last one is arable land.
Mine could be brown.
I believe it's...
it's yellow and brown. The
yeah.
brown are vineyards, which is arable land, and the yellow are any other kind of agriculture.
Scott, thank you very much for joining us.
You're
we have
it's
learned a lot. I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
See you guys. It's going to be English for you again. Bye.
Láttam, hogy Julia megcsókolja Jack Portert.
Ne keresd a bajt, mert az úgyis rád talál.
Ő egy gyilkos.
Titkok.
Mondd meg! Megölte az anyámat?
Hazugságok.
Nem tudom, kiben bízhatok.
Szenvedély.
Kérlek, ne tedd ezt.
Veszélyes szerelem. Minden hétköznap az M2-n.
Csak óvatosan.